Tonight is Monday, June 17th, or 10th of Tammuz. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masechah Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis.
Hey, Rabotai. Ran Nun Aleph Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, it's about 5-6 lines from the bottom, citing the Mishnah, that they made a tikkun gadol in the Beis HaMikdash by building a gezuzdara, a platform upon which women would be standing during Simchat Beit HaShoeva in order to discourage any mingling and interaction between the men and the women. So the Gemara is going to share with us a brisa which tells us what was the original practice before they went ahead and made this tikkun. But before we see that, there are two just brief ha'arot that I want to do based on the two tosfos that appear on the page. We'll start with the second one first. The story concerning the Beit HaKnesset in Alexandria cited that they made 71 royal chairs somehow to commemorate the Sanhedrin. Somehow to commemorate the Sanhedrin. Rashi, however, learns, and we'll see it inside, that they did not want to commemorate the Sanhedrin. They made a Sanhedrin in Alexandria. They formed and created a Sanhedrin in Alexandria. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, in the Rashi...
Five lines up in the narrow lines.
Rashi says, "Kineged shivim ve'echad zakenim, she'asu lohem Sanhedrin." That they didn't just do this as a commemoration; they actually went ahead and designated their own Sanhedrin. Okay, designated their own Sanhedrin. Which is somewhat unusual, irregular, and unhalachic. Forgetting about the issue whether or not you have a right to recreate the Sanhedrin, today, right? As there have been, Rabbi Reiner can fill us on several historical attempts to re-establish the Sanhedrin in the 1500s and the 1700s. Rav Maimon in 1950 tried to re-establish the Sanhedrin.
Napoleon. And,
what?
Napoleon.
Napoleon. So, forgetting about that, and it's everybody is based on a very famous Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, where the Rambam writes, Yera Eli. It appears to me, there is no source whatsoever, that if, the problem is, of course, that if you don't have a samuch who received smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't give smicha to somebody else. So the Rambam writes, it appears to him that if all Chachmei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael agree that a particular person is to be identified as the samuch, that person has halachically the status of a samuch, and he can ordain 70 others, and you now have a Sanhedrin. So writes the Rambam. That's what the Rambam says. And any attempt to reestablish the Sanhedrin was based on that particular suggestion. So whether or not they're going to designate Rabbi Yosef Karo, he was a potential candidate, or others, that's what. But to make it in Alexandria, it borders on the absurd, because even if you had legitimate smicha, there was no such thing as smicha out of Eretz Yisrael. Real smicha is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the attempt to establish a Sanhedrin would have zero credibility from a halachic perspective, even if you believed that you didn't have, even if overcoming the real lack of smicha was an issue, this would be somewhat, this can't be compensated for. So based on the fact that Rashi writes that they made a real Sanhedrin, Tosfos now raises a question. Tosfos's question is based on who is the opinion, the author of this braita describing this beautiful Beit Knesset in Alexandria? Who is this opinion? Who's the author of the opinion? Who is the author in the cited in the braita as whoever didn't see this Beit Knesset never saw such a big... Who?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Good. Well, if it's going to be Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda should quote a story and a narrative that would jive with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Asks Tosafot. In Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Bet Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that... Well, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda says that a Sanhedrin is not 71. Sanhedrin is 70. So if a Sanhedrin is 70, why did they make 71 kitraot? That's Tosfos's kash. It's okay, you can sleep tonight, even though, you know, there's no game anyhow tonight. Yankees not playing, no Spurs not playing. But even if there was a game tonight, you'd be able to sleep with such a kash. You know, it's the Veltnish Untergame with Hazak kash. But Tosfos asked the question. Let's read it. Perush Sanhedrin. Tema, I'm perplexed, there's Tosfos. Hodisnam the Perakama the Sanhedrin, Sanhedri Gidoila, Hashish Shal Shivim Ve'echad. Rabbi Huda Aymer, Shivim. Rabbi Huda says, no, the Sanhedrin was only 70. Based on the fact that what? That Moshe Rabbeinu could not count as a member of the Sanhedrin. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe in Parshas Bahaloscha, Es Foli Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael, so the Chachamim say, how did we get to 70? 70 in the Pasuk, Moshe al Gabehen. Moshe is number 71. Rabbi Yehuda argues, Moshe can't be number 71. Why? Because then there'd be no Masa Umatan in the Bezdin. How can it, Moshe's Gabehen is going to express an opinion? How can anybody argue with Moshe Rabbein?
He should speak last.
Okay, so that he might speak last, and now they're going to come take a vote. Is that going to be a free... We're going to outvote Moshe Rabbeinu? Is that what's going to happen? Yeah, he will speak. And in Dine Mamun, in Dine Nefashos, the Mishnah says, Hagadol is last. Only in Dine Nefashos. But not in Dine Mamun. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the Sanhedrin is only 70. V'im came, Hevelei La'asos, Rak Shivim Katredrot. They should only make 70 stools, not 71. Ubitoich kach, therefore Tosfos says, you must say, Sorech Lefarish, Sha'osa Katra'a, Haisa Lemufla Shebebezdin, Velohaya Minachejma. De'ilav hachi, Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. There was a position in Sanhedrin who was called the Mufla Shebebezdin. In other sources, he's called the Av Bezdin. Not the Nasi, the Av Bezdin, who was considered the greatest Talmud Chacham of that particular Sanhedrin. So he indeed did not count. He was the Av Bezdin, and he didn't actually count from time to time, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda. And we will see in other sources, not only according to Rabbi Yehuda, even according to, in other situations, his role is critical. His role is critical. And there are, this particular position was specific when Bezdin is acting within the role of its judicial stature. I've mentioned to you on several occasions that the Sanhedrin, the way the Rav always formulated, has two functions. Number one, says the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, very famous Rambam, that Sanhedrin Shebi Yerushalayim, Heim heim amudei hora'a shemimenu Torah shemimenu takes a Torah mi Yisrael. They are the seat of hora'a for Am Yisrael. When it comes to hora'a, This Av Beis Din played a unique role. I'm going to show you a Mishnah in Haririas in just a moment. There is a secondary role where the Sanhedrin is not acting as it's the highest judicial court, but rather as the agent that represents the will of Am Yisrael. The will of Am Yisrael. When there are certain mitzvot that have been designated to the tzibur as a whole, it's somewhat impractical to gain a consensus of asking everybody, knocking on the door. So the Sanhedrin represents. In that particular position, it was the Nasi who was authoritative and not the Av Beis Din. So for example, when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, the Nasi had special powers of summoning two others within the Beis Din and being Mekadosh to Chodesh without anybody else in the Sanhedrin. Because in terms of representing towards the cloud, the Nasi was considered the titular head of the Sanhedrin, and he represents the consensus, the will of the people. Despite the fact that we know factually that the head of the Sanhedrin, this Nasi, was not always the greatest Talmud Chacham. It was some degree inherited position, not some degree, it was inherited position, and all you have to do is look at the Gemara in Maseches Brachos and know very well that Rabbi Hoshua was considered much greater authority, halacha, than what? Than Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel, nonetheless, was the Nasi. So that is something that we see all the time. So if you'll take now the sources that I distributed to you, and it is source number one, a Mishnah in Hayrios, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalid. So the first Perek of Hayrios deals with the halacha of Par Helim Davar Shal Tzibur. That if the Sanhedrin made a psak halacha and erroneously ruled about something upon which had someone done this b'meizid, there would be a death penalty. Had somebody done this b'shogeg, there would be a chiyuv of korban chatas. And they ruled, it's mutar lachatchila to engage in such an activity. You're allowed to do it. And after a while, we made a mistake. So there are two choices. Everybody in Klal Yisrael can bring a korban chatas. It was b'shnaka. We didn't do it on purpose. It was done because we didn't know the halacha. We were told that it's mutar. Or, the Torah says, no. In this situation, you have what's called par helam davar shel tzibur. The Sanhedrin brings a par, which seeks atonement on behalf of the entire tzibur. So the Mishnah gives various contingencies where there will be no par helam davar shel tzibur. So look at the Mishnah. Hayru Beis Din, if Beis Din ruled on a particular halacha, and then in Perek Beis it tells you what type of case it has to be. V'yoda echad mehem shita'u, and one of them actually said, Rabotai, you're dead wrong. This is asur mita oraisa. V'amar lehem, and he wasn't intimidated, and he said to them, to'in aten, you are making a serious mistake. Or, case number two, o shalo hayam mufla shel Beis Din sham. The Mufla Shel Beis Din wasn't there. He was at the ball game. You know, he was at the ball game. So he wasn't there at the time. So they voted without him. So the halacha is Harelu Pturin.
With the full 71 they voted?
What?
With the full 71.
That's a question. Sometimes if a member of Sanhedrin was not there, they have the Talmidim sitting here, and they designated somebody as a temporary to fill up number 71. Or in situations whereby the next case, O Shahaya Echad Mehem Ger. We know that Shmaya and Avtalion were Gerim, were converts. Shmaya and Avtalion as a Ger can't be a designated appointed member of the Sanhedrin. But they were on the Sanhedrin. One was the Nasi and one was the Av Beis Din. We know that from the Mishnah and Avos. So what did they do? They engaged in discussion. But when it came to vote, they had to disqualify themselves. You need 71 people, two other henchmen who would Talmidim, who would be sitting there in the front row, they would be designated as a temporary ringer. You're going to fill up the number. But just because you are not capable of voting doesn't mean that you can't be a member of the Sanhedrin. And under those circumstances, Shmaya and Avtalion were eliminated based on that. And the same thing probably was true with Moshe Rabbeinu, even according to the Chachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mufla Samach Leish. He was the Mufla. He could discuss things. But when you come to vote, Moshe Rabbeinu had to drop off the case because nobody could argue with him. How can you argue with Moshe Rabbeinu? So what they did was he somebody up and somebody else occupies his role. And that was just parenthetical. That's the solution if you wanted to have a woman on a Beis Din, on a real Beis Din. If she has the scholarship to be able to participate in the debate, she could participate in the debate like Shmaya and Avtalion. And then wherever it required a formal vote, under those circumstances she would have to step down based on the Mishnah Nida of called her Ra'ui Leha'id Ra'ui Ladin. If you're qualified to serve as a witness, you're qualified to serve as a judge. If you're disqualified as a witness, you're disqualified as a judge. So there are ways to get around it. But my point is that here you have a halacha of mufla samuch leish. Mufla, a mufla. The mufla should be bested. So therefore, he, according to Rabbi Yehuda, didn't count. So he was part of the discussion, but in terms of a vote, he didn't have. So according to Tosfos, Rabbi Yehuda said they made 71 seats in this Beit Knesset, not because they were commemorating the Sanhedrin, because there was an actual Sanhedrin. And why did they make 71, even though Rabbi Yehuda holds the Beis Din is only 70? Based on the fact that the Mufla Samach Leish is the person who will not have a vote in the Sanhedrin. I'm not going to go now, you learn Masechet Sanhedrin, so there's much discussion. How does Rabbi Yehuda have 70 people in a Beis Din, ain't Beis Din Shokel? You're not allowed to have an even number of Beis Din. Okay, that's Masechet Sanhedrin. There are pages and pages about that. But I just wanted to show you that's what Tosfos says, and the simple interpretation is against Rashi. That they didn't recreate a real Sanhedrin in Alexandria. They made a make-believe Sanhedrin. Make-believe, just as a token remembrance of the Sanhedrin. If you go to the Kotel today, you're staring at the Kotel, to the left is the Idra. Big sign on the thing, the Idra of Rav Goren. Rav Goren used to have his kotel there. Well, if you go upstairs, it's right by Yeshivat Netiv Meir, you will see that Rav Goren built a chamber for the Sanhedrin. 23 seats, 3 rows in a semicircle, and 2 seats all the way in the front, one for him and one for somebody else. I'm not sure if he thought he was going to be the Nasi or the Av Beis Din. But he built the chamber for the Sanhedrin, you know, exactly the way the room looked. And so that's what Tosfos says. Then there is the previous Tosfos. I'm sorry, I should have covered that previously. I just want to tell you about an unusual halacha. If you remember, we discussed this when we learned the Mishnah concerning the drawing of the water of Simchat Beit HaShoeva. So the Mishnah says, Kara HaGever, the rooster roosted, Taku V'Ariu V'Taku. They gave the signal and they went out to the Shiloach to draw the water. So if you remember, we discussed this, Tema Tyson says, the mashma shemikros hagover holchin lishov mayim. V'imkein hayunif solim belina. If you remember, we raised that question. That by the time the waters get into the mikdash, they're possible. Because any water that sits in the klishares before daybreak, any time during the night, is now disqualified for avoda the next day based on what we call the psul lina. So Tosfos gave. Previously we had suggested that there were several tricks which they played. What did they do? One answer was that they didn't put it into a klisharis outside by the shiloach. They took it in a regular pitcher and then they brought it into the mikdash and they poured it into a klisharis afterwards. Others say no, that a psul of lina is only when it's in the mikdash itself. So they stationed themselves outside of the mikdash. They took it in the klisharis, but they didn't walk into the mikdash to subject it. Fine.
How do we know it's nighttime?
What? Because Christ HaGofer is before Alois HaShachar. That's fact.
Okay.
The rooster starts roosting before dawn, before the break. It's a fact.
Okay.
Check it out tomorrow morning, about 4 something in the morning. Check it out. If you hear a rooster crow, check it out. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. It's a Gemara. That's all. Try it out. Now, the question which many Rishonim ask is that there is a strange Gemara in Maseches Zvachim which says, I should have photostated for you, there's a strange Gemara in Maseches Zvachim that says that a Kohen, before he does the Avodah and the Mikdash, requires Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim from the Kiyor. Must wash his hands and his feet. If a Kohen washes his hands in the middle of the night, now when he comes in to do the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, his hands are Pasul Belina. His hands are Psulim Belina.
Even if he did not sleep.
Because Kashrut in the middle of the night becomes Pasul for what? Good. That's what the Gemara says. However, there's one exception. And here's what the Rav wanted to point out. There's one exception. There is one activity of the daytime which is actually done at night. If I were to ask you, what is the first activity of a new day in the Mikdash? As you well know, and if not, I remind you, in the Mikdash, Halayla Holeich Achar Hayom. Night follows day in the Mikdash. The day in the Mikdash begins in the morning and concludes the next morning. Not like us, where the day begins at night and concludes the next night. In Mikdash, Halayla Holeich Achar Hayom. In many areas of Halacha, it's proven. So now, what is the first activity of... We know in Laila is Pasul Avodah. We know that. Based on the fact that the Parshas Tzav, the Talmud Parah says, Biyom Hikrivo Es Korbanam. Biyom Hikrivam. Biyom, below Balayim. No Avodah at night. In fact, the reason why we daven Marv after Plaga Mincha is because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Tamid Shobein HaArbayim was always brought after Plag. And after Plag, halachically, was considered Laila in the Mikdash. That's why we have a right to daven Marv after Plag HaMincha, even though it's still an hour and a quarter before sunset. Because one place in this world, it's already considered Laila. So if I were to ask you, what is the first activity that a Kohen does to start the day-to-day daily sacrifice? Correct, Trumas Hadeshen. Now, when does Trumas Hadeshen take place? It takes place in the middle of the night sometimes. Oh, what do you mean it takes place in the middle of the night? Answer, says the Rav. When you're dealing with a Heftza that is subject to Lina, like Mayim, Minachos, there, the absolute criteria is day versus night. Absolute criteria is day versus night. And what is the definition of the beginning of day? Alois HaShachar. Not roosters blowing off steam. Not. Alois HaShachar is the definition of day. So if you have waters subject to the Avodah, to Nisach HaMayim, if you have Minachos, and you pour the flour into a Kli Shares in anticipation of the Korban Mincha that will accompany the Korban Tamid. If you do that at night, it's possible. As long as it was done before when? Alois HaShachar. The Psulina that applies to the hands of a Kayin, it's not that his hands are what? Are subject to Lina. It means that all activities of the day can't be prepared at night. Activity of the day can't be arranged at night. But since the Trumas Hadeshen is the beginning of Avodas Hayoyim, even though it takes place technically at what hour? While it's still dark before Alois HaShachar. Hence the Kohen washing his hands for participation in what? In what? In Trumas Hadeshen would not disqualify his hands, Mishum Lina. But a Kohen who is going to do what? The Korban Tumah shel Shachar the next morning, and he went ahead and washed his hands before Halos HaShachar, his hands are possibly going to have to wash them again. So when you're dealing with a Cheftza that is subject to Lina, it's an absolute mark. Absolute, namely, what is the criteria? The criteria is Alois HaShachar before is Laila, after Alois HaShachar is day. We paskin that it's day. The Bidi'evet, every mitzvah of Yoim, which you do after Alois HaShachar, Bidi'evet Yoyotze. L'chatchila, we say that you're supposed to wait until Neitzachama for mitzvos hatluyot bayom, such as Kriyas HaMegillah, Tkiyas Shofar, Bris Mila, and so on and so forth. But b'di'evet, b'kulad, she'asum yash'olam al-shach, famous mission in Megillah, yatsa. So we pass it. Before that, it's night. So as a result, there is a difference. When it comes to the avoda, the designation of lina is not a function of what time per se. What the designated is when the avoida takes place. So if it's avoidas hayom hana'aseit balayla, the hechsher, the washing of his hands, is okay at night as well. But an avoidas hayom that is only done during the day, that type of washing can't be done before, and his hands will become disqualified belina, even though it's only a hand and not an object itself.
Shemus Adeshin is cleaning off the ashes?
Yes.
So what's a bayah talking about? We say karbonis every day. Marafa bidola kodemis marafa shayash from Torah.
It's not like that. Halacha is not like that.
What?
Halacha is not like a bayah. The way I like it's the...
That's a bayah in Misadir Kumar.
Yeah, but the halacha is not like a bayah.
Right.
What is that? What's marafa? What is that?
Marafa. That's the putting of the wood. Arranging the wood on the Mizbeach.
What about Hector Yamarim and the Amurim?
What about it?
Do it all night, can't you?
That's correct, but that's part of the avoid of the previous day.
Someone was Mekadosh's Dinaim Raglayim to do that at night.
I'm not sure. That's a good question. It's an excellent question. What would happen? That would be a good test case. Because that is mitzuraf to the avoid of the yoyim. It's not any new activity. It's a very good, it might be very good. That may be an excellent test case. I don't know. I have to check that. Well, again, right there. So the Gemara said, now we can go to the Gemara, those are Sadan. So the Gemara said, on Matzoi, Yom first day of Sukkot, Matzoi Yom Tov, Asu Tikkun Gadol, my Tikkun Gadol. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ke'osa Shishaninu, Chalaka Haisa Verishona, Vehekifua Gizuzura, Vehiskinu, Shiyu Nashim Yoshua, Bilmala, Ve'anashim Elmata. There was a chalaka. What this chalaka is subject to a debate. Some say that originally there was, in the chatzer of the Mikdash, just a small little line, a little something, indicating men here, women there. And as the Braisa will say, the women were in front and the men were behind them. Let's read the Braisa. Others say that the chalaka was a wall, not just a little yardstick saying, this is the 50-yard line, do not cross, but there was literally a wall itself. But everyone acknowledges that there were no pegs coming out of the wall until this particular time, and then they made this pegs coming out, and what did they build on top of it? They built pegs on three sides, and what did they put on top of the pegs? A balcony. Let's read the Braisa. Tana Rabbana. Barishona hayu nashim mibifnim v'anashim mibachutz. Initially, when the Mikdash was created, they had in the chatzer, women were in the front and men were in the back. And only a chalaka divided them. Chalaka, as I said, either a little something or a wall itself. Why were women put in the front and men in the back? Based on the fact that the expanse of the chatzer was not evenly distributed, it was wider in the back than it was in the front, hence it could accommodate more men. Since there were typically more men than women, they initially put the men in the back and the women in the front. That's the way women like to hear it. Women in the front. However, hayubaim lidei kalus roish. They came to inappropriate activity. Rishonim say chas v'shalom that they were looking to engage in kalus roish. What happened was the men wanted to be a little closer to the shechina, so they kept pushing forward, and as a result, they came here into the. They mixed with the women because hey, we're going to stand in the back. You should imagine the scene today. If you had on the Har Bayis today, if the women would be in the front and all of the men, all stripes, will be in the back, I could just imagine what the scene would be. And they're pushing from. His kinu, step number one was Shiunoshin Yoshvis Babachutz Vanoshin Bibifnin. So they switched it around. Men are in the inside, women are on the outside. Va'adayin hayubon lide kalus roish. Why? Because the women felt that we want to get closer to the Shechina. Who are you? And you think you're Rashi Bahag? We're just as important as you are. We want to come. And so it didn't accomplish anything. You think you only had women of the wall today? Here you had the women of the wall, the real women of the wall. So they hiskinu, shiyu nashim yoshvos milmala, va'anashim milmata. And so they decided that what are they going to do? They're going to make a balcony, women upstairs and men on the bottom. Very nice. Now, according to the way the Mishnah formulates it, it says that this gezuztara, here's the words in the Mishnah. It's in the Mishnah. But saw Yantav Harishon. Where does it say that?
The second line of the Mishnah.
But saw right. But Masakishon Tikkun Gadol. Now, 99% of all Rishonim say, which is Mistaber, if you had to build a balcony today, if you had to build a deck, what are you going to make it out of? Out of wood. Here comes a titanic debate between the Rambam and the Rav. As she do apostle can touch his shoiftim vashtate lo sita lecha ashera kol eitz eitzel mizbach Hashem alokecha asher ta'aselach. So now we'll take a look at the sheets for a second. Rambam quotes this not once but twice. Start with page number 2 is a Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. The Rambam starts with Allah Ches for a second. Kishibonin ha'heichol v'ha'azara bonin ba'avonim gidolot. Use big stones. V'imlamatza avonim bonin bilavenim. Then you use bricks. Fine. Now look at Allah Ches. V'ein bonin bo eitz bolate klal. No wood sticking out any place in the Mikdash. Ela o ba'avonim o bilavenim bisovisid. Ve'ein osin achsadraot shel eitz b'chol ha'azor. And you don't make any what? Wooden balconies any place in the azor. Ela shel avonim o shel levenim. So says the Rambam.
That's permanent.
That's going to be the hold on. That's going to be the answer. Hold on. So this is number one. So the Ravid says, Mr. Rambam, our Gemara says it was built out of eitz. Gemara says it was built made of wood. What are you talking about, Rambam? So the Ravid, has two. Two explanations to defend why you're allowed to make it at Shel Eitz against the Rambam. Because he believes the fact is the Rambam's wrong. They did make it out of Eitz. So take a look at the right. Ve'in bonin ba'eitz klal. Amar Avraham. Number one, the lishkas kayin gadol, which is not an hour sugi, it was made out of wood. Ubesimchas beis hashoeva hekifu kol ho'azara gezustra. And everybody knows it was made out of wood. So what are you talking about, Rambam? Ela lo asra toira kol eitz, ela eitzel mizbach. Vehi Ezra's Kohanim Nishar Nikanor Ulifnim Abu the Ezra's Nashim Ubaharabayis Mudr. So the Rambam says there is an Isa, but the Isa doesn't apply in what was called the Chatzer, which later became the Ezra's Nashim. It doesn't apply there. It only applies in the Azara itself, because as the Pasuk says, Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Elokecha Asher Ta'aselach. Now, not everybody agrees with the Raivid that it's limited only there. There is a famous tshuva of Rabbi Kivayger, who writes that on a derabbanan level for sure, and quite possibly on a deoraisa level, you are not allowed to plant a tree in a yard of a Beit Knesset. Beit Knesset. Because it says, Mositah lecha asher akaleit, eitzel mizbach Hashem elokecha. Now, if Rabbi Kivayger is willing to say that in the yard of a shul it applies, then obviously he doesn't agree with the Raivid that what? That it only applies to the Azara. Because if it only applies to the Azara, the yard of a Beit Knesset is obviously not the Azara.
Why is planting a tree the same as building something from wood?
Because the extension is that not supposed to have anything of wood. Doesn't mean just not to plant the tree. That would be logical. But that's not the way they interpreted the puzzle. You're right, you could have said, it says, Asherah kolets. You could have said, don't build a tree, don't plant a tree, because Asherah was a very prominent Avodah Zarah. And it would look like there's an Avodah Zarah. Doesn't mean not to build anything out of wood, but everybody believes that this is the basis of the Esau. There's no other puzzle.
Kolets.
What? Kolets. That's correct.
Is that brought down in the Gemara or the Mishnah?
Gemara. Tomorrow, quoted by the Rambam. If you go to page number 3, you will see the Rambam quotes this as well, Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Where the Rambam writes, Hanotea ilon eitz al hamizbech o bechol ho'azara bein ilan srak bein ilan ma'achal. Whether it's a tree that will bear fruit or not a fruit-bearing tree, afal pi she'aso l'noi l'migdash v'yofilo, even though it was made for design and is indeed beautiful, nonetheless, hareza loke shene'emar lo sitar lecha ashera kol eitz eitz al mizbach Hashem elokecha v'nei shehayaze derech ovdei kochavim. Note in Ilan note the Bitsad Mizbeach Shalom Kadeshi is Kabsu Shal Ha'am. It was used as a marker. Where is the church? Oh, by that beautiful oak tree that they just knocked down on Cedar Lane. Just in Netivot Shalom of the Shul. They knocked down that oak tree from 200 years old. They were able to identify it. So too, since this became a marker for a house of Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Rambam reading into it, that's what he's reading, time of the Quran. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Just says you're not allowed to do it. So the Rambam here also says that it's possible. And in Halacha Yud, this is in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he decides not just to tell me that, look at the next Halacha. Asu la'asos achsodo sho'eitz kiderech sho'osin bechatzeros. Afal pi shehu bebinyan de'eino eitz natua. Not like Marvin wanted to suggest. And Rambam says, he's aware of what you have in mind. But you're wrong. V'ez harchaka yisela. He acknowledges that this is only a harchaka, not the primary Issa. Primary Issa is only a tree. But nonetheless, it's us. Nonetheless, it's us.
According to Rambam, what burned tissue for?
Yeah, what burned?
What?
What burned?
The stone.
Stone doesn't burn.
Hey, it gets dark. It's black. I don't know the utensils. I don't know.
The maracha, all the wood
in the Beis Hamikdash.
Huge storage of wood.
Beit HaYitzim, 100%. Maybe that will burn.
So I guess we don't pass on the Rabbi Yeager nowadays about planting trees.
That is correct. We don't pass on like Rabbi Yeager. And
do Bukatai
Rosh, for example. If Rabbi Yeager is going to come give a share, we're going to have to knock down all the trees. And Mrs. Kislev is going to have a heart attack. That's all. Because I want to welcome Rabbi Yeager. Yeah. That's one answer. A second answer is, as you suggested, that the Isur only applies if it's Binyan Kavua. Binyan Kavua. This Gezuzdra was not a Binyan Kavua. It was obviously disassembled every single year. How do I know that? Because the Mishnah says every Motzei Yantiv, they built it. So they took it apart. And in fact, believe it or not, there are some Rishonim who now grapple how far, how much is considered temporary? How long is it considered temporary? You know, you have a temporary CBO that can be for how many years? So some say that you will learn it out from a tree. A tree engages, when you plant a little seed, there's no tree yet. It has to have hashrasha. It has to take root. So the amount of time that it would take to what? To generate roots, to form roots, that's the equivalent time, what's considered temporary. After that, it's considered permanent. There are others who say, no, it's 3 days. I don't know how you're going to operate in 3 days an hour, so again, when Simpate Shaveva is a week. Others say it's 2 weeks. Others say it's 3 months. And they all have this thing with the Hashrasha is what the Yerushalmi says. That's the Yerushalmi's definition of what's considered Ara'i. The amount of time it would have taken to have a tree establish its roots, that's considered temporary. After that, it is permanent. How long does it take a tree to start developing roots? Vaisach Nisht. Anybody here a pyer? A farmer? No? I don't know.
You think they would add the time it takes from Motzei Yantiv until after Yantiv, then you could take it down. And
yeah, it's like, well, us, you know, when you go to when you get a like the subpoena from the police, they're putting up a sukkah. Okay, just take it down in 8 days, no problem. That's all. Same thing. Yeah. Yes. Let's continue. Now, the Gemara is going to question this entire process from another unusual halacha, and I will show you a second source in Maseches Chulin where the exact same concern takes place. Asks the Gemara, Heichi Avid Hachi, how could they possibly go ahead and make an addition to the Mikdash? How can you have an addition to the Mikdash? V'haksiv, the Pasuk says, in Divrei Hayamim, Hakol Biksav Miyad Hashem, Olai Hiskil Kol Malachot Hatavnit. Says Divrei Hayamim. What does it say? Hakol. Everything about the formation of the Mikdash is Biksav. Namely, what does it mean? It emerges from something in the text. Olai Miyad Hashem. Everything is directly from the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olai Hiskil Kol Malachot HaTavnit. Every melacha of shaping this Mikdash is on whom? On me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? From this pasuk, Chazal learn out that there are no changes permitted to the landscape of the Mikdash. No changes permitted to the landscape of the Mikdash. Because everything was already designed, and by design, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are you changing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's design?
Dimensions?
No, dimensions, he gave proportions. But whatever has to happen, whatever, if you have this room, that room, can't make any changes. So the Gemara asks the question, Heifi Avida Hafen. How could you possibly go ahead and make this Gizuz Torah if that was not included in the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So if you'll take your sheets once again, to the fourth sheet, it's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Pei Gimel on the Beis. It's the beginning of the Perek of Kisui Hadam. So the Mishnah says, as you well know, when the Torah says that when you shech a chaya or an oaf, after the shechita, you have to be mechasa the dam. Not if you shech the behemoth. Only a chaya and an oaf. Says the Mishnah, Kisui Hadam nohei ba'aretz ubechutz la'aretz. We're still the Kisui Hadam today. Bifnei habayis ushelo bifnei habayis. It's not dependent on the mikdash. Bechulin avolom b'mikdashim. When you slaughter a korban in the mikdash, a chayor and oaf, under those circumstances, you do not engage in the mitzvah of kisui hadam. So the Gemara immediately takes up this issue. Why should you not perform the mitzvah of kisui hadam in the mikdash? Take a look at the Gemara. Mukdashin, my time alone. What could possibly be the reason why you should not make kisui hadam in mikdash? Ilay mishum de Rabbi Chia. Perhaps we can suggest like Rabbi Chia. Excuse me, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera. Dama Rabbi Zera. Hashochet sorech shiyitain afar lemata v'afar lemal. When you make kisui hadam, first you take a little patch of blood, I mean dirt, then you shech, then you pour the what, the blood on it, and then you take a second layer of dam of dirt and cover it. So it's two layers of dirt. Offer lemalav, offer lemal. Shine emar, v'shafach es damo, v'chisahu be'offer. Afar lo ne'emar ela bit afar. It doesn't say v'chiso afar, but chiso bit afar. Namely, it should be covered with what?
Bit afar.
What? Covered with dirt. Covered. So it should be surrounded, right, with dirt on both sides. So therefore, v'hacha lo efshar. In Mikdash, it's impossible to do it. Why? Heichi le'evet. How can you possibly pour additional dirt in the Mikdash? If you only had to pour it on the dirt, no problem. But since you have to pour it onto dirt, and then do what? Another mound of dirt on top of it, you can't just make another mound of dirt in the Mikdash. Why? Heichi le'evet. Le'sev v'levat le'ev. If you should what? Pour it on and be mevatel it and say, well, it's me, it's not part of Mikdash. That's impossible. Why? Kamosif abinyan. You're adding on to the floor of the Mikdash. Uksiv hakol bitsav miyad Hashem olai hiskil. Lo livakle. If you're not going to be mevatel the offer on the bottom level to what? To the Mikdash, have a chatzitza. Then it's not being buried in the ground. It's not being covered in the ground. It says al ha'aretz tishpechedu. It's not the aretz. It's on a some offer. So the Gemara says, therefore, it's impossible to perform the mitzvah of kisui hadam in the Mikdash. Why do I show this to you? That's how far they took this notion of. Not even to add a little mound to the Mikdash. That's unbelievable. That's how seriously they took this. Not even to add one little mound to the Mikdash, which is unbelievable. So the Gemara asked the question on the bottom of the page. Heichi Avu. Ha'ksiv ha'kol b'ksav v'yad Hashem olai yizkil. Amarav kra Ashkechu v'dorosh. They found another pasuk. What did it say? V'safta ha'aretz mishpechot mishpechot levad mishpachat Beit David levad uneshem levad mishpachas Beit Nasa levad uneshem levad. Says Rashi, this particular pasuk found in Zechariah is going to be lamenting the death of Mashiach ben Yosef. According to Chazal, there's going to be two stages of Geula. One which will be heralded by what we call Mashiach ben Yosef, and then he's going to die, and there will be the coming of Mashiach ben David. So, in arranging the eulogies for Mashiach ben Yosef, the pasuk says they shall be done. Mishpechot, mishpechot levad. Each family engages in their own avelus, or their own hesped. Mishpachas beis David levad, or nesheihem levad, and their wives separately. Amru, they said, v'haloi dvarim kavachayim, uma le'asid lavav. Sha'oskin behesped. If we are dealing la'asid lavo, the time of the brink of geula, and there, what are they doing at this particular time? Engaging in eulogy in hesped. Ve'ein yetzahara sholeit bohem. And at the time when you're in a hesped, nobody's thinking about frivolous kalus reish activities. And nonetheless, amra toira anashim levad v'nashim levad. So if they decided to have separate eulogies for men and women, achshav she'asukin besimcha, now for simchas beis hashoeva, when we are engaged in a happy occasion, v'yetzahara sholeit bohem, alachas kama v'kama. Certainly what, that we should be worried about potential frivolous behavior, and as a result, they realize you have to make a separation. How does that answer the kasha? How does it answer the kasha?
Because one cancels the other.
Oh, that's it. They say that, no, if, when does it mean you can't make a change, and you're going to ask the question in 2 seconds, but many were showing themselves. When do you say when you can't make a change? Only just time to develop them. Just time to make a change. But if you're doing it to promote a value of separation between men and women, then it's not done just because you want to make a change in the blueprint of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're doing it l'shem mitzvah, and as a result, it overrides it. Tell me the weakness of this argument.
Pasuk says, there's a far and far.
No, what?
Then he sold that far.
Of course. Then why would there be an issue by being mechassid adam? I'm not doing it because I enjoy adding to the layer of mikdash. I'm doing it to be a kind of mitzvah kisei adam. So what kind of an answer is this? So it doesn't really give an answer. And most simply say, you're right, it's awesome. But it's harashah. Chachamim do things when they see that there's going to be potential disaster. So they will override certain laws in order to make sure that others are protected. And therefore here they decided that it's more important to protect men and women from engaging in inappropriate activity than to be concerned about the prohibition of changing the blueprint of the Mikdash. And as a result, this suddenly became perfectly acceptable. So is what the Gemara answers. The question is, what did they think initially? Before they decided to make this Kizuz Terah, what's happening here? Why was there no concern? The first time that they had a Simchat Beis HaShoeva, what did the Braisa say? The women were in the front. Why was nobody concerned about having Taruvos right there?
They were separating. I mean, it was a nominal separation.
Okay.
So it didn't work. Okay. So
did it happen in 1 year? Did it happen in 5?
Like, okay, that's just in all good. So did this happen the very first time that they came? Unlikely for the first time. So some really say that this again was Hirah Shah because there were a couple of bad years. Under normal circumstances, and we see that this is an idea contained even in modern day times, that when you're dealing with Avodas HaKodesh, people don't allow their minds to engage in inappropriate activity in the midst of what? Holy activities. You don't. And your mindset is somewhere else. And since your mindset is someone else, the words which they use are, Ein hayetzer hara sholeit b'mikdash. There's nothing to worry about. And I'll give you a modern-day application. The very famous tshuva of the Sri Deish, allowing young men and young women in camp to sing zmiros together. Whatever happened to what? Kalisha. Mm-hmm. So there's a major discussion. Major discussion. And if you read scholarly articles, you'll see that the Isser of Kalisha, as it is understood today, was not once pronounced until the time of the Chassam Sofer. The way we way it says it can't hear a girl sing any, till the Chassam Sofer, no one ever interpreted it in such a fashion. Many scholars, Saul Berman has a very lengthy, excellent article on the history of Kalisha. But anyhow, what did he say? We're not going to a jazz festival on Shabbos afternoon. We're singing zmiros, right? Baruch El Elyon, Hashem Asan Menucha, Dror Yigal, Levein Imbas. Yari Bon Olam. When you're engaged in singing songs of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not the time to be, people are not thinking about Hirhurim Rhyme. That's not what they're thinking of. And as a result, he said this, even if you wanted to say it's awesome, there's room to be makil, because that's not the occasion which will lend itself to a person having inappropriate thoughts as a result of the beautiful singing voice of this one, very famous tshuva of the Sri Deish.
Is this all by Yishen or by Yishen, all this stuff?
This is all by Yishen.
By Yishen, we don't know that.
We don't know what's going on by Yishen. Yeah.
So according to the blueprint of Bias Rishon, therefore we can't change the blueprint of Bias Sheni?
No, Bias Sheni was built based on the blueprint of Bias Rishon. And Bias Shlishi is going to be built on Yecheskel's blueprint. Okay, so the question is the expansion of Herod. Did he ask anybody?
No, I did it, but it was accepted, obviously.
But what are you going to do? He did it. He's going to kill you. Are you going to break? Are you going to change it? What are you going to do? He did it. He didn't ask any halachic shaylos.
He asked Bobo Bebota.
What?
I think that he asked Bobo Bebota.
And what did he say?
He told him to build around it and then to demolish inside so that there should never be a moment without a Beis Hamikdash.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But it was still accepted. It became Kedushas Harabais, all that expanded.
Yeah. Harabais, yes. No doubt. Yeah. You're allowed to expand the Harabais. That's a mission in Sanhedrin. You're allowed to expand the Azara. You're allowed to expand anything. But you can't change the blueprint. You can expand, you know, the width, but you can't change the actual inside.
But you cannot say that there is a change in the blueprint if it was not permanent. Yeah.
Right, that's it. That was Arai, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we'll stop here, Rabotai. Okay, I want you to think about the following. We're almost at the end of Sukkah. The next blot or two is pure Agadata. So I want you to think about the... We can finish up Sukkah. I think we should finish it up. But you should also think about the next Masechta that you want to learn. And so think about it. And as to whether it would be wise, just ask more of a... You know, that if we're starting again after Yontif, would it be wise already to start with a new Masechta if you want to attract other people and so on and so forth? I'll leave you to make those decisions, and I'll tell you the way the Rav always used to conduct those questions. At the beginning of every year, come into the shir, 120 guys in the shir, Abai say, what do you want to learn this year? He takes a vote. He gets up on the board. Bavakam. How many people? 16 votes for Bavakam. Shabbos. 12 votes for Shabbos. Abai Dezari. How will you Sachem? I talked to you about it. Says, yeah, there's a democracy, but I have 121 votes. 121 votes. All right, stop here. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
We should do Sukkah and invite all the people for the seal, man, for just coming for a few weeks.
Yes.
That was really attractive.